To find out what's really going on behind the music, sometimes you have to dig deep. I'm Dr. Mike, and on the new season of Going There, we're doing just that.
Art or music can be your escape and your therapy.
Going There is the podcast at the crossroads of music and mental health, where we have raw, meaningful conversations with artists like Noah Kahn, Julian Baker, Jason Isbell, Youngblood, The Head and the Heart, and Bishop Briggs.
I recently heard someone describe grief as glitter, where you'll clean it up and then you'll find little pieces.
By opening ourselves up to these real discussions about mental health, we can foster understanding and gain even greater appreciation for the music we all love.
For me, like, my favorite songs give me happy tears.
So join me and some of your favorite artists on the new season of Going There with Dr. Mike, brought to you by Sound Mind Live and the Consequence Podcast Network. Subscribe wherever you listen to your podcasts.
Hey, I'm Nancy Wilson.
Mike Campbell.
Mark Mothersbaugh from Devo.
Hey, it's Adam from Counting Crows, and I am here giving you the story behind the song.
The story behind the song is back for season four. I'm Peter Chidi of Deep Cuts Media, and this season we're diving even deeper into some of music history's most iconic tracks with the legends who made them.
What's so beautiful about it is a lot of people connect with, you gotta live your life and don't let the big man push you down. Don't have to live like a refugee, can't keep fighting for what you believe. And that was Tom.
From the spark of inspiration to untold tales from the studio, we unlock the true stories that shape the music you love.
At the time on the radio, there was a really cool riff by Nazareth covering a Joni Mitchell song, This Flight Tonight. It had the same groove, but I think Barracuda kind of blew it out of the water.
Join us as we all sit down with music icons like Devo, Heart, Mike Campbell of Tom Petty and the Heartbreakers, Sublime, Counting Crows, and so many more. New episodes are out now from the Consequence Podcast Network, so tune in wherever you get your podcast and join me for the story behind the song.
Tour set, pop!
So today is a wine night for me.
A wine night, yes.
Yeah. I had to stop at the store on my way home.
You had to.
And get some wine. Yeah. Mm. It's just been, you know, it's just that day. It's just that time of year.
Yeah. Well,
you know,
it's the end of the school year right now. So
yeah,
I'm sure not only your students are antsy, but so are you.
Yeah, we're all feeling it. So I had a need to stop and get wine on my way home from work kind of day. Mm-hmm. So, so that's what I'm doing tonight. How are you?
I'm doing good. I also have a glass of wine.
Yes,
I'm
girl.
Joining
Cheers.
You. You've got your white. I've got my red.
Of course. Classic.
Classy.
So, anyways, welcome back, guys.
Yeah, welcome back.
I'm Kayla.
And I'm Bethany, and this is Standing BTS.
Yes.
Yeah, welcome to another wonderful episode where we get to hang out for about an hour and just talk about BTS.
What a wonderful hour it is, too. But disclaimer, this is a comedy fangirl podcast. That means that we're going to fangirl, laugh, and learn a little bit along the way.
Yep, that's right. This is an explicit podcast, though, so if you aren't cool with that, you can dip out now. We won't blame you.
Totally. But if you're down for some, going to the BTS concert is the only thing getting me through right now.
Yes, that and wine. Or BTS are officially in the States again, and the Speak Yourself Tour begins this coming weekend.
Yes.
Meaning we are 2 weeks away from seeing
Cannot
BTS.
Believe. Oh my God. Like, by the time this episode comes out, a week and a half. Like, yes. Girl, it's right around the corner. Cannot wait to talk about the concert in an upcoming episode. But in today's episode, we are addressing finally the last three chapters of the Save Me webtoon and discussing our final thoughts.
Mm-hmm. We've postponed this episode for as long as we could have postponed it.
Yeah, we had comeback got in the way. Yeah. But we're finally back to finish out this series. But before we get into it, we have to thank you wonderful, amazing armies for being here and for supporting us. If you are a fan of this show and you want to show your support for us, you can do that by telling people about the podcast. That's huge. That helps people get to know us a little bit easier. You could write a review on iTunes or whatever platform you listen on. And then if you want to go above and beyond and show us extra support, you could do that by donating monthly to our Patreon at patreon.com/standingbts.
Or if you'd like, you can make a one-time donation at paypal.me/standingbtspodcast. Your support helps us to improve the quality of our content and to continue putting out weekly episodes. Any type of support is super appreciated, guys. We're just glad you all are here listening. And an extra shout out to all you patrons. You guys are super incredible. We love you.
Yes, thank you guys so much for being here. We love you. We're so excited to get into this today.
Mm-hmm. But before we do, we don't really have any BTS news as of right now. We do have personal news. So unfortunately, there's a lot happening in May for both Kayla and I. So there's a couple dates in May that we will not be releasing an episode. So on May 9th and May 23rd, we won't be able to release an episode on those days. Mm-hmm. But be expecting episodes on the other weeks, the other Thursdays in May.
Right. The 2nd, we'll put on an episode. The 16th will be the episode after our concert. So we'll have a concert experience episode. And then on the 30th, we'll put out an episode as well.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, we have, not only do we both have the concert that we're traveling to, Bethany, you're moving across the country to a new position. You're taking May off, but like, you got to move.
I'm going to be going nonstop for the month of May.
Yeah,
I'm moving to South Dakota. Crazy. Uh-huh. Would have never thought I would be moving to South Dakota, but between then I'm going straight from Washington, driving all the way to Chicago, then back to St. Louis, then I'm going to Orlando for my trip to Disney World, which I'm super excited about. And then I'm headed back to South Dakota to start my new placement. And then Kayla, you are also going to Florida for your brother's wedding.
Yeah, my brother's wedding is over in like Memorial Day weekend. So we're going to squeeze in an episode before, like right when I come back from that, but we're not going to be able to put one out before that.
Yeah.
We'll just both be busy and traveling and like, oh man, the end of the school year. I'm stressed. We're stressed. Yeah. We're going to get through May, but May is always such a busy time.
It is.
So just bear with us, guys. We're going to be gone again the 9th and the 23rd, but we'll be back every other week after that.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
So, content of the week. This week, my content of the week is the Boy With Love, Army With Love version of the music video.
Yeah, how sweet.
I love it so much. Mm-hmm. Like, oh man, when I saw that it dropped, I was so excited. I was totally not expecting it.
Oh, I wasn't either at all.
No, and I love all of like the special additional little moments in there. Mm-hmm. Like Yoongi's verse takes place in like the couch scene. Mm-hmm. You get like a ton of other close-ups of the members that we don't see before. Mm-hmm. Halsey is more in it throughout. I just, I love this alternate version. I'm not saying like it's better than the original or anything, whatever, but I just love it. I love that they put this out.
Yeah, it's more laid back. It's more fun. The members are like a lot more goofy throughout the music video. And that's just what makes it so special that it's the Army version.
Yeah.
Army with love. So my content of the week is Taeyong at the Fact Music Awards that happened on April 24th of 2019. This was like some of the best pictures of Taeyong that I've ever seen. And there's so many fabulous photos of Taeyong. But this award show was the first time that we saw Taeyong with his new black hair. And he just looked like a whole ass man. He looked incredible. So, so handsome and charming. He was stealing the show. Like, I have to say it. Like, everyone was being bias wrecked by him. He was just all over Instagram and Twitter. He was, Yeah. Just love it.
I sent you like 4 pictures in the morning when I first saw them. I was like, this is the best thing for Bethany to wake up to. Like,
I'm still not over it. I texted you about it all day long.
You did.
Looking at these, still zooming in on his beautiful face. He looked incredible.
Just any time that one of the members steps out with their like black hair, it's truly a treat. And Taeyang just looked so incredible.
Mm-hmm. All we'll of the members are now slowly dyeing their hair back to black.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so we think Jimin might be next.
Oh, fuck.
Your watermelon Jimin will be gone.
That's okay. Black-haired Jimin is always welcomed. Black-haired Jimin is always welcomed in this house.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. So let's go ahead and get into this last Save Me series episode. Well, maybe the last. We will see.
Yeah.
But where we left off in the last Save Me series, Jimin's mom kind of came in at the end of the episode there. And she and Jimin got into this argument while he was at the hospital. And they pretty much just argued about why he's still there, the true reason why he's still there. There was still no clarification. So she ends up leaving. And as she leaves, Jin hears medical staff pounding on Jimin's door, on his hospital mm-hmm. door. And so the medical staff, they were ordering for Jimin to let them in. Like, you know, he clearly had locked the door. He shouldn't have been doing that. So they break into his room and Jin, hearing everything that's going on, of course, follows, and he follows them into the bathroom where Jimin is being weighed down underwater in the bathtub. And so Jin immediately pushes through all of the medical staff and steps in front to pull him out of the tub.
Yeah.
And that was where we left off.
So episode 13 begins with Jin pulling Jimin out of the bathtub, and Jimin is just crumpled up on the floor, like leaning against the side of the tub. Mm-hmm. And Jin yells at him, "What the hell are you doing?" And the hospital staff are talking behind them. They're like trying to assess the situation, asking Jin if he's the guardian. And Jin is just wondering what the hell he's supposed to do. Mm-hmm. He's just thinking about the impossibility of saving all of them. That's just flashing through his mind. And Jimin looks up at Jin with just the picture of this in the webtoon just kills me. Mm-hmm. He has tears streaming down his face and he says, "Seok Jin, get me out of here, please. I want to get out." Mm-hmm. And he just looks like he's an absolute agony. He's clenching his teeth, his brows are quivering and pinched together, and these like heavy round tears are just falling down his cheeks. And mm-hmm. I mean, of course, what do you think Jin is gonna do? He has to help him.
Yeah. So the next thing we see is a bird's eye view of Jin's truck speeding away from the entrance of the hospital, staff running out after him in the car. And yes, Jin took Jimin. After this, we were reading this together. We're like, yes, he took him. It really is the best. It's everything we wanted to see happen. Mm-hmm. So Jimin is sitting in the back seat of Jin's truck and Jin is looking back at him through the rearview mirror. And he's thinking to himself, Jimin said, "Nothing changes unless you change it first." So that was kind of his inspiration to just take him and mm-hmm. forget it and, you know, just basically break him out of a hospital.
Yeah.
So they drive by a sign that says Grass Flower Arboretum. And when they go past this, Jimin sees the sign and is like, "No, no, no." And he jumps out of the moving car and he starts to run down an alleyway in the direction of the arboretum that also says construction site. And so Jin is like yelling at him, like, "What are you doing?" He gets out of the car too, telling him like to just get back in the car. But we kind of assume that Jimin just runs away.
Yeah.
And he's gone. Yeah.
Right. And then reality fades away. It doesn't crack this time. It just kind of fades as you scroll down. Mm-hmm. And it goes back to April 11th. So we see Jin. He's sitting on the bed in his room and he just looks exhausted. Like he is thinking about how he can't save everyone. He used to believe that he could save everyone, and he's just mentally going back through all of the moments in which he saved his friends. And he really believed for the longest time that he could do anything and that he could straighten out the errors that led them all to each of their disastrous events. And he really thought that he could save each of them with his own hands. And as he's thinking all of this, he's looking at the photo of them from June 12th. It's marked 6/12, and he's crying over it. You can see his tears dropping down onto it. And instead of starting the day over and trying to go out and save everyone, Jin just sits on the floor beside his bed, hugging his knees in, and he's completely discouraged and, again, exhausted.
Mm-hmm. And very discouraged, the expression on his face.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And we see daytime turn into nighttime, and then we see the next day starting, and he's just sitting in the same position instead of getting up to attempt to save his friends. But then he hears a knock at the door.
Yeah, yeah. So Taeyang is actually the person at the door who's knocking on Jin's door. And This is completely different from what we have seen before, because Jin has been the one who's actively seeking his friends. Mm-hmm. And now, as this new day has started, April 11th, replaying over again, he hasn't even left his apartment or wherever he is, but he's getting a knock on the door from Taeyang. And so Taeyang tells him that he's there because he dreamt about Jin, and that every time he closes his eyes, his dreams are of Jin. And so Jin is in complete shock. And this part, this illustration of Jin here, he desperately grabs onto Taeyang's shoulder. He like falls into him and mm-hmm. clenches his shirt. Like, he's just so relieved to see Taeyang, and also astonished to see that Taeyang has come to his door. And so he thinks to himself, each and every one of you makes me want to give it all up. And when I think I can't possibly fall any lower, you pull me back up on my feet. So here he's kind of thinking maybe he will fail again, but decides, of course, to continue. And if he doesn't make a move, the cycle will never end.
So just as he's deciding that he has to do something, he decides that he's going to go get Jimin. Mm-hmm. So he goes to get Jimin, and he most likely sends Taeyang to get the others.
We kind of inferred that, but that's not 100% the truth.
It's not shown, but we see that they all rendezvous at Namjoon's place, and they're hanging out over some fast food, some burgers and fries. Everyone is so happy to see Jimin when they come through the door, mm-hmm. like hands thrown above their head, big excited smiles on their faces, running over to him in Namjoon's tiny little boxcar trailer. And Namjoon, as they sit next to each other, tells Jimin that he can stay with him for a while if he'd mm-hmm. like to. Mm-hmm. And Jimin is like, yeah, I don't feel like going home. Mm-hmm. I will stay with you.
Yeah.
We see a few little pictures, like little still moments of this kind of reunion scene. So we see a picture of Hobie feeding Jungkook, and Jungkook has like these, they drew him with the biggest baby eyes on him.
Yeah, they're like glistening.
Oh, so cute. And then we get another picture of like Jun and Yoongi kind of smiling at each other over their shoulders, mm-hmm. like they're really happy in this moment, and mm-hmm. you know, they're just having this kind of silent communication uh-huh. with each other.
Yeah, very subtle and smiles, but they're saying a lot to each other. Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh. And then we see Jimin and Taeyang with their arms around each other, just like laughing and smiling and just looking mm-hmm. so euphoric. And
I just have to mention, Hobie is feeding Jungkook a French fry. I don't know why that is so cute to me, but it's just like one French fry, and Jungkook has these like doe eyes, like, okay, and he's going to take a bite with his bunny teeth. It's so cute.
It's absolutely adorable. So in this moment, Jin is looking at them, and we see him seeing them, and he just sees them all together. And this is the first time that we really see Jin look beyond happy, like beyond content. He mm-hmm. feels like he's finally saved them all, and mm-hmm. that's the look on his face. And it's here in this moment that Jin asks everyone to go to the beach together.
Mm-hmm. And all of these beautiful stills that we see of them all hanging out together, it reminds me so much of the Run music video.
Mm-hmm.
Just having like, a complete blast with one another.
Just having the best time together.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So that's the ending of episode 13. So now we'll move into episode 14 and things get a little bit darker here. So it starts with images of them at a campfire and the boys, they're all setting off fireworks and they're holding on to sparklers. They're just having a really great time together, just messing around, being playful. And then we see another still of them all passed out in Namjoon's trailer. They're taking every inch of space to sleep inside that trailer together. Like the trailer is so, so small and Namjoon, he's actually like on the floor, but mm-hmm. they're all spread out like on the bed, on the desk, however they're sleeping. They all still look so incredibly comfortable and peaceful.
Yeah. It's just like, they're perfect, like puzzle pieces fitting together in this mm-hmm. tiny trailer. And we also, when we saw this image, talked about how it seemed like each one of them were sleeping in a way that they would mm-hmm. in real life.
Like Yoongi's like flat on his back, just his knees casually bent over the end of the bed, hands uh-huh. laying on his belly. Hobie's like got his limbs all stretched out across the bed. It just
with a smile on his face.
Yeah, he's smiling while he's sleeping, of course.
Yeah.
But it's a really great, great still to look at.
Mm-hmm.
So then we switch to May 20th and we're outside a police station. And so we see Taeyang has just left the station after probably being arrested and charged for graffiti. Mm-hmm. So he starts to walk home. And he can hear yelling from outside his home. And he thinks to himself how he really doesn't want to go in, how he just really much dreads to return back home. He's kind of looking up at the apartment, just scared and hesitant.
Yeah.
So the second he walks into the door, a glass bottle is thrown in his direction and shatters in front of his feet. And his dad yells, "What the fuck were you doing outside this late?" And so Taeyang then steps over and walks towards the room where his dad and sister are. So when Taeyang enters the room, we see that his sister is crying on the floor with her forearm over her eyes. And she's telling Taeyang to apologize to their dad for being out so late and then just to go to his room, which then his dad shouts, "You're not going anywhere, you fuck." And Damn. His sister then jumps in front of their dad, who looks like he's going to like go and attack Taeyang. So she steps in front to try to protect him. And as she does this, their dad slaps her across the face and she hits the floor.
Oh,
it's terrible.
It's awful. And then right in this moment, we get a flashback to Taeyang's childhood where he and his older sister are on the floor in the corner and his sister is wiping away his tears saying, "Taeyang, did you hear what I said? You have to hide when dad's beating me. If you try to take my place, I'm going to be upset." And we see this image of this young childhood Taeyang, and it's just heartbreaking. Mm-hmm. He looks so hurt and helpless and confused and scared. And of course, because he's a child, they drew him with like bigger eyes and like mm-hmm. just cute features, but he's just crying and he's all scuffed up and mm-hmm. he just feels hopeless and helpless. Mm-hmm. So we get this really cool profile shot of child Taeyang with tears streaming down his face. And then the next image that we see is a profile shot of present day Taeyang mm-hmm. looking just angry and fed up and numb and honestly ready to make some changes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. His brows are like angled downwards and like his hood is up over his head. Like you said, he just looks really fed up and, mm-hmm. and angry and enraged. And so Taeyang, in present day now, grabs the soju bottle or just a bottle of alcohol. We're assuming soju because it's green. And he approaches the doorway where his father stands above his sister after he just slapped her to the floor. We can see from the illustration that Taeyong quickly approaches his father, and his arm with the bottle of soju is like winding up behind him. Mm-hmm. But it's here that the illustration goes white, and it doesn't exactly show what happens next. But based on music videos and just knowing the storyline, we can infer what happens after this. Mm-hmm. So the next shot we see is Taeyong sitting on the ground against the wall, blood just all over his white shirt, all over his hands, even on the side of his face, some on the floor. And he's crying. And he is just looking down at his blood-soaked hands, probably trying to have reality set in for what just happened.
Yeah.
And what he just did. Yeah.
What he just did. I mean, how any normal person, like, would, I mean, that would, I can't even fathom trying to process doing that. And I after all that he had been through, all of like the years of abuse, but you know, having it end in a way like that, like nobody wants something like that to happen. And
being driven to that point
where you feel like you have to kill to protect your sister and to save yourself, like that's just, and I mean, abusive assholes, like fuck them, like
absolutely.
I mean, if you abuse another person in any way, fuck you, like but still,
that's getting into
that's a whole other thing, but still, like this this is obviously like traumatic for him to do and to go through.
Absolutely.
So it switches scenes to Namjoon and Jin sitting on top of Namjoon's home, and they're talking about how it was a good thing that they busted Jimin out of the hospital. And Jin is like kind of unsure if it was such a good thing. He's like, really? Did we really make the right choice? And Namjoon, of course, assures him that being out of the hospital and not exactly knowing what's going on is better than Jimin being in the hospital. Mm-hmm. So Jin is like, okay, I believe you. I agree with you. And then he asks Namjoon about Taeyong and how Taeyong is doing, because Namjoon had missed a call from Tae, which is like, remember in the music video when he calls, and we've always said that it's Namjoon.
Yeah.
And we've always said that it's Namjoon, but we never really had like specific confirmation. So here's the confirmation. And Namjoon said that he called back. He tried calling back, but Taeyong didn't answer. And then Namjoon mentioned how he was actually a little worried about him.
Mm-hmm. So that is out of character for him to not answer when he called. Yeah. So here we get a flashback to the night that Taeyong was escaping the cops from painting graffiti, when he just like ran away from the cops and basically got to Namjoon's trailer, and Namjoon took him in for the night. So in this flashback, Namjoon goes back to that moment and he remembers seeing the bruises on Taeyong's neck. And he starts to think about how that might be the baggage that Taeyong is carrying, because he hasn't really spoken about his own problems or anything going on in his life or at home. Mm-hmm. And so Namjoon is kind of inferring here. So then after this flashback, we go back to Jin and Namjoon sitting on top of the trailer talking. And Namjoon says, Taeyong ain't too big on talking about his personal baggage. He just smiles and sniggers all the time. And basically,
Namjoon hates this.
He hates it that Taeyong just plays it off all the time and doesn't talk about himself, but also seems so willing to help others.
Mm-hmm. He wishes that he could just tell him the truth so he could help him.
Considering how close they are,
like Namjoon's place is Taeyong's getaway place and where he goes to hide from the cops after graffitiing, and like he hasn't told him, or you know, he's not letting him in about this.
And I'm pretty sure in previous episodes for the Save Me webtoon, I think Namjoon actually questions why Taeyong does the graffiti, the source behind it. And of course Taeyong smiles through it and doesn't really give a true reason.
But I feel like by now we can say, like, it's clearly just an outlet to take out, like, his anger or,
yeah,
you know.
And it gives him something to do.
It gives him something to do.
He's not home. He doesn't want
to
be
home. It gets him out of the house. Mm-hmm. He doesn't want to be home. It also is something that he, like, has control over. Mm-hmm. Like, even though he paints over the same spot every time, like, he gets to decide what he does and, like, what's there. And, anyways, so Namjoon is a little suspicious at this point.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. So after Namjoon kind of says this to Jin, Hobie then drives up on his moped. Yeah, which he borrowed. And he yells, "Taeyong, just..." And then that's kind of all we see from Hobie. And so the last thing we see is Jin looking downwards towards Hobie with this just, like, utterly shocked face.
Mm-hmm.
And that is the end of episode 14.
Yeah, so if you had to wait for those episodes to come out, just like every other time, a cliffhanger at the end.
Mm-hmm.
but we did not. You don't have to. It's right now, episode 15, the last episode of this Save Me webtoon.
Wow, the last one. Wow.
The last one. It's been a journey. Mm-hmm. The top of this episode, and this is actually the only one that says this, it says, "This episode contains violence. Reader discretion is advised."
I feel that Jimin's episode needed this.
Jimin's episode needed a content warning for sure. Mm-hmm. That was very difficult to go through. Very triggering. So this episode begins with Jin pulling up in his truck to a crowd of people, and this crowd of people saying things like "suspect" and "why did you murder your own father?" So Jin fights his way through the crowd, throwing elbows, trying to get up close, and he's yelling out for Taeyong. And we see Taeyong being escorted by two police officers, and his hands and body are tied up with a rope, which I'm sure they just, like, did it in the drawing without thinking anything of it. Mm-hmm. But when we saw a rope, we just found that to be so strange. Instead
Very
of
strange.
Handcuffs.
Yeah.
Like,
it seems drastic.
Rope? Yeah. Like
his
he's
full
not
body is wrapped in
restrained.
Rope.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. His full, like, around his upper torso restrained mm-hmm. with rope. And he's,
yeah, it's not just his hands. It's like restraining his arms inward. Like you can't even
like
move
he
his
can't
arms.
Move. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And it's like, yeah, he just killed his father, but he's not a violent person. He was driven to that point. You know, he's a kid.
Yeah. And I think in that crowd of people, we also saw a dialogue of something like, you know, "why didn't you tell people your father was abusive, blah, blah, blah."
Yeah.
So people even know that, like, the reason for him killing his father was because
this
he
abuse.
Was abusive. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So just the rope was very weird. It seemed mm-hmm. like overkill. Mm-hmm. But we,
we're probably digging into it way too deep here, but
yeah,
we just,
I mean,
that's
I'm sure
what
it was
came
literally,
across our minds when we were looking at it.
Yeah. Nobody thought about it when they drew this rope, but it stood out to us.
Yeah.
But he's looking down at the ground with his hood up and he's like covering his face, but he hears his name from behind him. So he's able to kind of turn around, and as him and Jin meet eyes, reality starts to crack mm-hmm. away. So we see this image of Jin reaching out, and he's stressed and sweating, and he's just reaching out towards Taeyong. He's just desperate to try to get to him.
Mm-hmm. And this illustration is just so neat, how it has Jin reaching out, looking stressed and sweating and wanting to reach out towards Taeyong and grab him. And then the image is mirrored and flipped, and we see Taeyong below Jin upside down with this red background hewing around his edges. And his eyes are just really wide and his mouth is slightly parted. And because this is such a dark episode, I'm going to throw this in here for some easy, nice listening. in this drawing, the illustrator drew very prominent collarbones on Taeyong, which of course I couldn't help but to notice because Taeyong's collarbones are just so prominent. And so again, like, the illustration really is so incredible in portraying how the BTS members actually look.
Yeah. I mean, we just have to throw that moment the in there. Bones. We'll take anything we can get.
Yeah, even though he's tied up and being taken to, you know, jail.
Jail for murder. So reality cracks away and we are back at April 11th once again. Bethany is finishing her wine. I'm going to finish mine.
Yep. We're almost there.
We're almost there. So Jin is standing at the window and he's looking out the window in his room. Sorry, let me clarify. He's standing out the window in his room and he's looking outwards. And we just need another little fangirl moment over his broad shoulders.
Yes.
And Bethany, you pointed out when we were looking through this together that there's even a little crinkle in his shirt where his scapula would be. Mm-hmm. So
his back is not only broad, but strong,
just really displaying the whole shoulder, upper back region. Mm-hmm. And then worldwide. The shorts worldwide, but then the shorts, they're kind of shorts. They're kind of shorts. They're really? Kind of short for shorts. Like they're not quite Bermuda shorts. Like they're not to the knee. They're not like short shorts, but they're like mid thigh. Like I like a mid thigh short, on a man. And so I know this is just a drawing, but like I'm wrecked. Like it's really amazing.
Yes.
But so he's standing out this window and he's just thinking. And through this thought process, we really, again, are reminded that Jin's perseverance is unmatched. He mentions that he let his guard down so he couldn't save Taeyang. And he knew what was going to happen. He knew that letting Taeyang go into the apartment building, that something bad was going to happen. But he let it happen anyways. So he again resolves himself to say, I will save him no matter how many times I have to live this day. I will not fail, not this time. I will finish for real.
Yeah. So now we go to May 20th. And Taeyang is once again leaving the police station after being released on graffiti charges. Jin immediately meets him there. And tells him to hop in the truck, just like he's done with all the other boys.
Mm-hmm.
So in the truck, Jin is probing for information. He is trying to get Taeyang to open up and just explain what's going on. But Taeyang, of course, is reluctant to tell him anything, saying that he will tell him when he feels he's ready. And we get this shot of Taeyang just looking so incredibly sad and tired. He just got out of being arrested and charged at the police station. And so Jin here is thinking to himself, what can I do? Will anything I do even make a difference? So he tells Taeyang, I'm not asking you to tell me everything you're going through right now, but I want you to know one thing. Tell me when you're ready to talk. I'm always here for you. And I'm sure the other kids feel the same way too. And the other kids are referring to BTS like, kids. Jin calls them kids.
I know. Just such a cute touch.
Mm-hmm. So Taeyang agrees to tell Jin one thing that's been happening lately. And he shares with Jin that he's been having these dreams about Yoongi being trapped inside a burning fire. Jungkook is falling from a building. Hoseok gets injured. Jimin is locked up in a hospital and that Namjoon is in prison. And for whatever reason, he doesn't remember what happens to himself. Like he can think like, yes, I've dreamt about myself, but I can't remember when I wake up for the life of me what happens to me.
Mm-hmm.
And Jin wonders to himself how Taeyang really knows all of this, because to Jin's knowledge, he's the only one who can go back in time and he's able to see each and every friend's storyline and what's going on in their lives. But Taeyang has this inkling into what's going on as well.
Yeah, which is like super interesting. And I think like once we're kind of done with this, with episode 15, we'll kind of talk about like this weird like dream connection that they have. But this has been a theme throughout these episodes that there's been like little moments that Taeyang has said that he's dreamt about.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So Taeyang then gets out of the car when they arrive back at his place and he thanks Jin for the ride and tells him, don't worry about me. I'm okay, really. But as he's saying this, Taeyang Taeyong's expression is the complete opposite of his words. His smile is clearly forced. Like, the corners of his mouth are straight. Mm-hmm. And his brows are, like, really straight, too. And his eyes look watery, like, almost like he's going to cry. He definitely has an uncertain look on his face, but the way that his mouth is open and his teeth are showing, it looks like just a very forced smile.
It's almost like he lied about not remembering his part of the dream.
I didn't even think about
that. I did not think about that until right now, but why else would he have this like resolution? Like he's like straight, you know, his mouth like that, like, mm-hmm. you know, forced smile, but he like, he knows that he has to go up there and he almost seems like he knows.
Do you think that him killing his father was premeditated?
No, I don't think so. I mean, maybe. I don't know.
If he knew what happened.
If he had a dream that he like felt like, but he doesn't realize that his dreams are like coming true. Mm-hmm. They're just recurring. Mm-hmm. But, you know, maybe it's that feeling of like deja vu that he might, you know, be kind of feeling like it's familiar, mm-hmm. or something like that. But that would be... that would be an interesting aspect, I think, if that were kind of an implied
if that was type the case. Thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So Jin can hear the yelling coming from inside the apartment building as Taeyong enters the building, and he can't let himself leave. Mm-hmm. He gets out of the car and he runs up the stairs after Taeyong with his feet making ta 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 mm-hmm. noises up the stairs, which I don't know, I love. Mm-hmm. But he's thinking all the while as he's running up the stairs, don't do it, Taeyong, please. So we see Taeyong enter through the doorway and he pushes his dad with his left hand and raises the bottle with his right hand and smashes it across his dad's face. So Taeyong is standing there looking crazy, possessed by enraged anger, and he moves to stand above his dad, who he just knocked to the floor, and he has that half-broken bottle in his hand. Mm-hmm. So we see Taeyong hold this broken bottle of alcohol threateningly over his head, and Jin, in this moment, finally gets to the top of the stairs and he runs up behind him saying, Taeyong, no. And he wraps his arms around Taeyong's waist from behind, trying to pull him back. And Taeyong pushes him off and says, get off me. And then we see this shot of Jin looking over his shoulder. Mm-hmm. And this expression here is like so good of a match to mm-hmm. real life pissed off Jin.
Yes, like, so accurately portrayed here. Mm. The way that Jin actually, when he's pissed off, looks.
Especially the over the shoulder, but his like brow is furrowed, but he's like looking glaring. Very direct. Yeah. But he, as much as he looks pissed off that Taeyong just shoved him out of the way and said, get off me, when he's trying to keep him from murdering his father, mm-hmm. he also looks nothing but determined here, as always. He's mm-hmm. he's like about to get right back into the fight.
Yeah. So right as Taeyong is about to stab his father with the broken bottle, Jin grabs Taeyong's right shoulder and turns him around. But Taeyong is already in motion, like mid-stab, when Jin does this. Mm-hmm. And so we see the sound of the bottle entering flesh. My God. Ugh.
It like the sound effect that they pick is the worst.
Ugh.
Like, how do you want to pronounce shluk? It's so gross.
Yeah. So we see just complete shock in Taeyong's eyes as he realizes that he just accidentally stabbed Jin. And he didn't just like stab him in the stomach like we've seen like he has done with his father and like music videos and stuff. Like, he stabs Jin in the heart.
Fuck.
Like, it's just below the left side of his chest there. And Jin's eyes are really like open wide. I think he himself too can't believe that this just happened. Mm. Maybe not his intention. What he wanted to do was to stop Taeyong from killing his father. but just not expecting this outcome, his own demise. So Taeyong asks Seokjin why, and he just kind of staggers backward, and Taeyong just is like desperate. He wants to know why Jin had come here, why he stepped in the way, everything, even though he said to get off and leave him alone. And so here Jin, he just like tries to apologize. He says, I'm sorry. And he just has this sense that he's never going to be able to fix it all.
Oh, it's so awful. It's so hard to read. He sacrifices
his own life here.
He does. But it wasn't a purposeful thing. Sacrifice. But it is his life, the ultimate sacrifice. Mm-hmm. He's thinking in this moment, every time I couldn't save you guys, you became more miserable. No matter how many times I tried, I couldn't save you. And he wonders if he has really saved them this last time. He's wondering if he dies, if he will actually die, or if he'll go back to April 11th as if nothing happened.
Mm-hmm. And this scene kind of is starting to come to an end. Taeyong now sobbing on the floor with Jin in his arms, holding him as he slips away and says, Seokjin, no, come back. And sobbing. Once again, reality cracks away. And so Jin here then comes to a realization or epiphany.
So he's not dead.
If you will. He's not dead. We go back to April 11th. He's back in his apartment, waking up in his all white room on his, you know, his beautiful white couch, not couch, his beautiful white bed. And he's come to this epiphany, this realization that he can't save them by himself. No matter how many times he's tried, he will never be able to save them all, especially not doing it on his own. Mm-hmm. And when he thinks this, he seems at peace with that. And so at the very end of the last Webtoon Save Me episode, we see Jin holding the Polaroid photo of all of them at the beach, and it says June 12th, and flower petals begin to fall from above, or cherry blossoms, I think, is what it kind of looks like.
Yeah.
And the last thing he thinks is, quote, once again, just like before, together with you. And then that's the end.
Big hit. This is not an ending.
It's not fulfilling.
This is, okay, I know that this is part zero, but this is not fulfilling. I think this is why, like, when we waited to talk about it, I was like, okay, we can wait until after comeback, because really, I was hoping that they would come out with, like, an epilogue, just something that wrapped it up or explained it a little bit better. I was really hoping to get more clarity, and we got some clarity about this whole storyline. And really, I think that we'll have to read the notes, which I have, and then whatever part two is when that comes out. But I love that last line.
Yeah, once again, I do love
just
the last
like before,
line.
Together with you. I love it because I really feel like that is his final understanding, is that he has to do it together with them to figure it out. So by the end of this 15 part series, Seokjin finally realizes that he cannot save them all on his own, and he must work together with them for them all to save each other. And obviously it would be an impossible task for just one person. I mean, he's saving six of them
in one day. Yeah.
No, not possible. Fuck no. Mm-hmm. Impossible. It's just incredible that he was able to do as much as he did for as long as he did. Like, how many endless days did he do that? I mean,
he had to repeat innumerable. At least everyone's day twice.
Oh, I mean, I think way more than that, like with like downtrodden he was, and like how much he had to keep like re-solidifying his perseverance and his resolve to find a solution. Like he did this hundreds of times. Like, how many times did he you know, spend the whole day searching for Yoongi? Show him searching for like J-Hope, or, you know, how many days did he spend finding Jimin when he ended up accidentally bumping into him at the hospital? Like, it was perpetual for him.
Mm-hmm. But really, the conclusion of this part zero of the Save Me series here is that he can't do this on his own. Mm-hmm. And that they have to do it together. They have to help one another. It's not just a single man process. It's going to be the efforts of all of them. And I'm content with that. I think that that is a good moral and I agree with it. But there's a couple things about the Webtoon series that we actually kind of want to criticize a bit. We both agree that we kind of wanted Namjoon to be more involved in the saving process.
Yeah.
Considering the beginning of the Webtoon when Jun seems just very knowledgeable, wise, and introspective on what is kind of going on, despite not having this ability to time travel or being having these dreams whenever he goes to sleep.
But he could definitely tell that something was up, like whenever they spoke, and he could have been utilized. Something else that we kind of hope to see some more of would be like the rest of Jungkook's storyline, like, or more Hoseok. Information. Hoseok. I mean,
the
really,
moped, like, come on.
The that moped.
Was no conclusion to that.
They made it really seem with the way that like Namjoon talked about it and would look at him when he's on the moped that he was going to get in some sort of accident.
Yeah,
like,
and
it
the
was
moped
gonna be...
had more than one appearance.
Yeah.
And this suspicion that kind of went on with the dialogue and the members' reactions to Hoseok being on this moped. It just was there was no continuation to it. That was it.
Yeah.
And I was like, why in such a short series, why was that scene even necessary?
Why weave it into the storyline?
Mm-hmm.
There was some, you know, little small moments like that. And I guess, you know, maybe some of that is just the fun of inferring more or, you know, like what might happen or whatever. Mm-hmm. But overall, it does seem like. Why include it? I mean, maybe it comes up in part one or part two, but it just is kind of, it's weird to see in this storyline.
Mm-hmm. I did like that they had Taeyang have this dream connection to what was going on with all of the boys. And so Jin really technically, not until the end of the series, did Jin know that he maybe wasn't in it alone.
Yeah.
And Taeyang was having these dreams that was giving him insight to what was going on with all of the boys too and the friends. So
yeah,
that, and I think we have speculated this in like the I Need You music video and the Run music video. And even after that, Jin is usually the one looking at the camera. He has this knowing expression, but we also see glimpses of Taeyang throughout doing this same kind of looking at the camera, maybe looking at Jin and having this knowing look to him.
Well, yeah, you know when there's the one video where Taeyang is up on the scaffolding on the pier and Jin is down at the bottom and he looks up at him. And then in the, I want to say it's Euphoria.
Is it Euphoria? Yeah.
I think it's Euphoria, it's Euphoria where it's been so long, but it's like, Jin has taken Taeyong's place and he was up on the scaffolding. And I specifically remember us talking about and discussing at length the expression that Taeyong had on his face, looking at Jin as if he knew. Like, if we knew to say deja vu at that time, I feel like that's how we would have described it, because he had this knowing expression on his face, like he had been there before, or that he knew that he was supposed to be up there. Mm-hmm. So somehow in the continuation of this storyline past part zero, they must figure it out. And Jin figures out a way to like kind of take Taeyang's place. But we also, I think overall, we think that they each would do a lot better if they had someone to talk to about their problems, or if they talked to each other about their problems. This is especially with like Jungkook and Hoseok and Taeyang. If they would open up, because I remember us being so frustrated at Jungkook's storyline earlier in this series.
So frustrated. Doing very similar things like Hoseok and Taeyang, just brushing it off, smiling through it, acting like everything is okay, and to not worry. Like, Oh, I just remember Hosok when he fell in front of all of his friends and hit his head and was just like, oh, it's okay. You know, it happens all the time. And just laughing, playing it off, and how uncomfortable everyone else felt because they knew it was something more serious than that.
So, I mean, if we can take away anything else from this, it's that don't feel like you have to hide your problems, especially from the people closest to you. It's always important to talk about it. I promise you that somebody will want to listen. People care about you enough to listen, and everybody else has their same problems that they're going through as well. And it only helps for all of us to talk about it and understand that we're all going through some shit. And, you know, it's just one of those things that when we kind of talk with each other and have kind of that strength in numbers, it makes it so much better and manageable. So we see throughout this that if these boys would just open up, maybe things could be different. And so just take my one big takeaway, maybe you can open up.
Yeah. And going off of that, I think another big takeaway is to know that you're not in it alone. That you don't have to do it alone. And that's like where Jin was getting stuck in, is thinking he had to be the one to solve all of these problems, and came to the realization that no, it doesn't have to just be him. It can be all of them. So being honest with and being open with your friends and family who are reaching out, and then also not feeling like you have to solve all of your problems yourself or other people's problems yourself, that we're all in it together, and that we just need to be open with one another and
and it's okay to lean on each other. Human connection. That's what life is all about. Helping us get through it together. So I thought that it might be a good way to wrap it up by kind of saying the original summary of this webtoon that we first read in the first episode, which is as follows. Seven boys, best friends. Their fates intertwine through the good times together, but also the tough times, as they have gone their separate ways and suffered greatly as a result. Oh, and how they did, just a pause, how they suffered. When all is almost lost for these boys, one is given a special chance to go back in time and help his friends fix the mistakes that led them down this path. He'll do anything to save them, but can he, or is he too late? Well, I think it's safe to say he can, just not on his own. I don't think it's too late, but he just has to figure out a way to do it together.
Wow. I love that you read that. It really kind of love.
Even though we had like a few grievances, I kind of love how it ended. Like now we're to the end of it.
I mean, I think it would have been crazy, unrealistic for Jin to have saved all six of his friends on his own.
Totally.
I mean, going to the point of like, you know, giving his own life there at the
end. And that still didn't work. You know, there has to be a different way.
So that was probably, I say probably, our last installment of the Save Me series. We might end up doing further episodes on the notes, which are the part one of the series, and then whatever part two has to offer whenever it comes out. But still unsure if we're going to cover the notes or even cover whatever part two is. There's a chance, but we will see. We'll let you guys know in the future. But we hope that you guys enjoyed the Save Me series. We certainly have enjoyed doing it, getting to read the webtoon, getting to see a little bit more into the lives of these, I guess, paralleled BTS
parallel
members.
Universe BTS. And really, I was really excited when this series started. I think we both were, because it's definitely a special project that Big Hit did, you know, that they clearly put out, like it's for ARMY. And just to kind of bring back some of that, or to bring some clarity. And I think ultimately it did fill in some gaps in the storyline, and just a really cool thing for them to have taken part in.
It gave a lot of confirmation, because a lot of what ARMY was suspecting is what actually ended up being the truth, which was really great to get that confirmation. But there was also some clarity brought to the storyline.
Yeah. So if you guys enjoyed this episode, or if you've enjoyed any of our previous episodes, there are a few things you can do to let us know. Firstly, writing a review on iTunes or whatever platform you listen on is huge. It helps people find us and it helps build the prospect of us getting sponsors. And we also want to thank you guys so much for all the kind reviews that we've gotten so far and within the past week. It seriously makes our day whenever you guys reach out and say anything. We see them. We see your review on Facebook. We see your tweet. It just really, it makes our hearts so full.
It means so, so much. Thank you.
So thank you guys for reaching out to us. Thank you guys for listening and being part of this standing BTS journey with us together. And you can reach out to us and let us know what you think about the end of the Save Me series via email or on any of our social medias. We're on Facebook, we're on Instagram, we're on Twitter, and you can find links for all of those things in the description.
Thanks for listening, and thanks for standing BTS.